baptism is and what it isn't. And for those of you, this is old hat, this is just a reminder. Because in here we have something that really binds us all together. That in here there's all about one Lord and one baptism, one Spirit. And there are things we in here within the body of Christ that God has brought in to tie us together as a family of God. And so, it doesn't matter if you're part of Stockton Springs Community Church or whether you're part of the greater church, we can look at these things that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Doesn't matter if you're from New York, is that where you guys, right? Doesn't matter if you're from New York, doesn't matter if you're from Timbuktu, or way over there in Prospect, doesn't matter how far away you are, we are all part of the family of God together. We look at these markers that God has given us to bind us together. Baptism is one of those things. But over the years, you know, there's been a lot of confusion about what baptism is and what it means. Jesus told us to go forth into all the world, preaching the gospel and then baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So part of the Great Commission, part of the duty of the church is to proclaim Jesus Christ and baptize. And so I struggle with the fact that so many people get, what's this all about? Because it should be a very clear understanding on things. So I put together this paper for you. If you have a pen, you can fill in the blank as we go down through this. And hopefully we'll get all the same page. But we start off with the idea of what baptism is and the confusion of it. Let me just give you sort of a rundown real quick. Because the Jewish concept, you go back in the Old Testament, there was a lot of ritual washings. Actually, before you went into the tabernacle or into the temple, there was a brazen lambert. In here, there was a big basin for those to come up through and wash. And the priest would come in and wash off the dirt of this world, if you will. It was an idea of washing off sin and cleansing oneself before they went into the temple. And we see that throughout there, the Jews developed this ritualistic cleansing. Right? Not just to clean your hands, but also to show a cleansing as we come before God. And that sort of developed into, until finally we have John the Baptist who came up through, and John preached and down by the Jordan River, and in here he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in here he turned around and said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Be baptized, and he says, for the remission of sins, repentance towards God. So if you take the idea of that washing, of washing away the sins, if you will, of that taking place, John brought them down to the river, and he brought them and he dunked them down into the waters as a washing away to repent of your sins and prepare for the Messiah, that Jesus was going to come. Well, Jesus' ministry took place. And we get into the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, we are told to baptize, not for repentance, but we're told to baptize into Jesus Christ. And so some of the symbolism has been changed over slightly as we talk about this. So I'm just going to kind of break this up and try to break, you know, take care of all the elements. The first one we want to kind of look at is sort of the method of what baptism really is. Like I said, there's a lot of confusion. And some of you, it depends on your tradition of the churches you're in, of how they perform baptism. In here, some churches, I use the term sprinkle, that in here they take just a little bit of water and they'll put it on. Some will go a little bit more than that and actually take water and pour it on. They'll take a vase or something of that nature and pour water over the person. Or the last one we look at this morning is by immersion, of taking someone and putting them into the water. And so anyway, we start talking about what does all this mean. In your paper it says, look, the word baptized comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to dip, to plunge, or to immerse. My favorite example is I love to take an Oreo cookie and a glass of milk. That is just a wonderful combination. Right? And you take the Oreo, how many do this? And what do you do with it? You take it in, you dip it, plunge it in. And if you're really good, you hold it there just long enough so it soaks up all the milk, but it doesn't fall. right? And you got to pick it up real carefully. And I'm hungry. All right. But in here, the term baptized means to plunge into the plunge or to dip or to immerse into the word itself. In here, Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "And when he had baptized Jesus, Jesus came..." Alright, there we go. "Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighted upon him." Alright, in here we talk about when Jesus was baptized by John, that in there they came to the place, they put him down, and for Jesus to come up, he first had to go what? Help me out here. Alright, in order to go up, he first had to go, he went down into the water, right? So in here, the picture that's given here isn't that water was sprinkled on him or poured on him, that Jesus himself was plunged or immersed into the water. Alright? So in here, we talk about the sort of the methods. John 3:23 says, "Now John was baptized in Aenon near Siloam because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized." In the book of Acts, we have Philip talking to the Ethiopian eunuch. He turns around, and so he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. So in here, as we go down through the methodology, which one better fits the biblical model, right? One of the things we try to do here is, okay, what does the Bible say? Right? We're talking about how to do something. What does the Bible say? And in here, the picture time and time again. Even when John was baptizing, he turned around and baptized at this particular place because there was a lot of water. Right? He found a place that was deep enough, that was wide enough, that he could go down and whoever was going down to be baptized could go down and fit into. Alright? If the biblical model was to turn around and say we're going to sprinkle or pour, how much water do you need? Not a whole lot. Right? So there was a purpose for what John was doing. Even with the Ethiopian eunuch, as he came down through there, traveling through, they came to a spot in the water, and he turns around and says, "Look, let's find a place where we can both go down into." Alright? So I think it's clear, as you look at the scripture, there's a lot of verses we can point to, that here, that we baptize by immersion, just because that fits the biblical model. That's what they did in Bible times. And we want to try to do it as closely as possible to what the Bible says. We talk about the sort of the meaning of it. Alright, we talk about the method, the meaning of it. I think this is really important for us to understand what baptism is. I was in a church and we were talking about baptism, and I was at the back door and I like to shake hands as people were walking out. And a lady came up and says, "Oh," she goes, "I want my son to be baptized." I said, "Great." I said, "I'd love to talk to you. Has your son accepted Christ as his Savior?" She goes, "Well, no." I said, "Oh." I said, "You know, I tried to find him," because we're at the back door and you don't want to get too serious in a conversation because people are waiting. Right? And so anyway, I was just thinking of this a little bit, and he goes, "Well, he really doesn't know anything about the Lord, and just, you know, this is the first time we've ever been to church, and so we just kind of want this, because we want to make sure he's okay." I was like, well, let's back up a little bit. That baptism, we talk about, it's more than just a ritual, or more than just a ceremony that's done, but in here it has a meaning to it. And it's important for us to understand why we do what we do. And some churches and some denominations and some traditions, the ritual becomes more important than the understanding of it. And what happens sometimes in these churches is that people just go through the motions of doing something, feeling that, hey, you know what? I'm okay because I've done this. And you ask him, well, why did you do it? Well, I don't know, because you're just supposed to do it. And God wants us to understand what we're doing. So we start talking about the meaning of baptism. Baptism is a public memorial that identifies the believer's position with Christ in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. Alright? If you will, I want you to picture this if you will. Alright? Put your imagination hats on this morning. That in here, we go down through and we're told that we are associated with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. As many as were baptized into His death, the Scripture says. So if we go down to the picture here, you go down through. How many of you guys have been to a baptismal service? How many of you guys? All right. So if you, from the perspective of sitting on the shore looking out, right, this is the picture that you would see. I go out there with the person who wants to get baptized. And I say, as a testimony of your faith in Jesus Christ, you want to be baptized? And usually the response is yes. Then I will say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in here, being associated with His death, Christ died for us, and then Christ was what? He was buried. He was laying in the tomb. Now, He was there for 3 days. I don't hold the person down for 3 days. And one lady was very afraid that I wasn't going to bring her back up. So I was like, don't worry about that. But in here, the picture, if you will, if you picture the water instead of being water, being the ground, Christ died, was buried, but He didn't stay there. Christ did what? He rose again. And so what happened is, as I get baptized, in here I associate with Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. I'm reenacting, if you will, the elements of what Christ did for me. Alright? Now on top of that as well, we talk about that as an outward demonstration of an inward conversion. Alright? It signifies the spiritual death and burial of the old man to sin. It signifies the spiritual resurrection of the new man in Christ Jesus. That in here, these are sort of real kind of fancy kind of terms, but basically what happens, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, that if you believe that you're a sinner, that because of your sin you deserve a punishment, which is hell, that in here, that Christ died on the cross to pay that penalty for you. I get the opportunity to talk to kids down in Fairhaven this week. And kids get this, because I'll explain to them. I said, imagine, how many of you guys have gotten in trouble? And all the kids, yeah, I've gotten in trouble. I said, imagine if I told you that next time you're in trouble, have Mom and Dad call Pastor John, and Pastor John will come down and take your punishment. How many would like that? And the kids are like, yeah. Right? And imagine if I showed up at your house and I said, you know what, I'll take their punishment for them. Right? That's kind of what God did for us. That because of my sin, I deserve punishment. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Right? But the gift of God is eternal life. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That by faith I accept what He did for me. That Jesus, I know You died on the cross for my sins. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. And part of that, I give my life to You. But that all happens on the inside. Right? When I accepted Christ as my Savior, He did a work inside of me, and you really can't see that. Now, hopefully because Christ is in my life and Christ is in your life, that you act differently. Hopefully you're doing things differently, right? You're not going back to what you were doing before. But there's no external thing that you go down through and really you can't tell just by looking at me if I'm a Christian or not. You really can't. You know, I could put on a tie and a suit and look all snazzy this morning and say, oh, well, he's a Christian. Well, what? That means yesterday I was walking around in shorts and flip-flops. Right? So what baptism does is now becomes a testimony. That now, if I want people to know that I'm a Christian, that baptism becomes a mechanism where you publicly announce or you publicly show what's happened on the inside. Years ago, I had a lady who wanted to get baptized. She goes, Pastor, I'd like to get baptized. I believe the Bible says I should do it. I want to do it. She goes, but I'm shy. And I said, I understand that because I'm shy too. And she goes, well, can you just come to my house and can you just go into the swimming pool in the backyard? And she goes, can you just come over and just baptize me and
No one has to know.
And I was like, I don't think that's what it means. Now, in our culture, in our society today, that, you know, if you're a Christian, probably the worst thing you'll get is picked on. I have friends who are missionaries in the Middle East, who are in Pakistan. And for them to turn around and publicly get baptized, that they, their families will write them off. They can get fired from their jobs. There's even danger, it depends on where they are, of actually getting killed for their faith. So today we talk about the idea of baptism, and yeah, okay, it's not a big deal. But we look at it around the world, even when talk about when John the Baptist is doing it, everyone came out to see. Right? Who is these people? Oh, who's getting baptized? Right? It becomes a public demonstration. And so baptism is a public display of what's taking place in your heart. And it's not the other way around. At the outside, because I'm getting baptized, that changes my heart. No. Baptism has to do with the heart first. And then you're showing everyone what's taking place on the inside. That I've accepted Christ as my Savior. That in here, I've died to that old self, and now I want to live a new life with Christ in my life. Baptism goes back to that picture, that death, that burial, and that resurrection. Right? Part of what you're telling people is, I've accepted Christ, what He did for me. I accepted His death, His burial, and resurrection. But also in my own life, I reflect back on that. That look, I'm saying, look, you know, I'm turning away from the sin. I'm turning away from my old life. I'm turning away from all those things. Leaving that behind. I'm dying to that. And now when I baptize, I say, bring the people up, I say, now walk in newness of life. This new life that we demonstrate in that. All right? So why is baptism important? Right? You know, well, Pastor, you know, I take a sermon once a year and talk about baptism. And some of you have been this and gone through this. Some of you have contemplating it. Some of you haven't. And so, well, Pastor, why are you taking the time to talk? Why is it so important? Because baptism doesn't save you. Right? We talk about it. Baptism just reflects what's happened in your heart. Well, if it doesn't save me, if the ritual itself doesn't do something, then why is it important? And that's a good question. I'm glad you asked. Matthew 28 says, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations." It says, "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." The reason why I mention baptism and talk about baptism is because Jesus told me to. This is right before Jesus ascended up into heaven. And His last command was, go preach the gospel and baptize. And for 2,000 years, the church has practiced baptism, has shown baptism in all these things. Why is it important? Jesus says in John 14, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. What I found over the course of the years, because it's interesting, because you follow out throughout the book of Acts and people got saved and baptized. In the next section we'll go look at this. But people got saved and got baptized right away. And even because of that, some churches got confused and said, well, wait a minute, you get saved and then baptized, saved and baptized. And it got to a point where in order to be saved you have to be baptized. It kind of blended because it happened one right after the other in the New Testament. And so what's kind of happened is, you know, we can never get things quite right. So what happened was we turned around and said, well, you don't have to be saved to be baptized. You're saved by faith, not by works. And it's not something you do. It's by what you believe. But what's happened over the course of time, we've told people that we've stretched these things out. And then we get to a point where people are saved and then don't get baptized until years and years later. Or never get baptized because they're like, well, I don't have to do it. And that's really the distortion of what God wanted us. Jesus says, look, if you love me, you'll do what I ask you to do. And I think often one of the first signs of obedience, if you will, one of the first signs that you really accepted Christ as your Savior should be baptism. And I think a lot of Christians, you know, I get saved, I've said a prayer, now I'm okay, and then live with later on, they kind of wrestle with that because they've never done anything with it. And I think what one of the things baptism does is sort of cement in me a forward momentum of faith in my life. Does that make sense? That in here, that because I've accepted Christ, and now what do I do? And I start living out my Christian life. One of the first things we should be doing is getting baptized. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, Jesus said. Jesus was baptized. And it says Jesus was baptized to set an example. Yes or no? Yes, right? Peter tells us that he did these things for our example. It's interesting, when Jesus came baptized, he had no sin. And John the Baptist was like, whoa, 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 I should be baptized by you. You know, you shouldn't be baptizing me. And Jesus says, let it be so that the scripture would be fulfilled. That Jesus, as our example, went through the waters of baptism. And as Christians, I want to be Christ-like. And so baptism becomes a thing that I become associated with Him. That Jesus did it, and I can do it too. The early church practiced it. We all go through the book of Acts, and we see that the pattern becomes really simple. I kind of call it the Christian waltz. Time and time again, people get saved, people get baptized, and people join the church. Boom, boom, boom. And often we don't see this pattern broken up at all. But it always starts with accepting Christ as your Savior. Right? That your relationship with God is a heart issue. It's a relationship. Now, because I have Christ in my life, now I start living it out. And the first step of that is baptism. Then the next step of that is becoming a member of a church, of joining up with believers of like faith. To join up in that community, be involved in those things. Right? That's why it's important. It's the beginning of that journey. Well, you say, well, Pastor, baptism is so important. Yes, it is. So everyone should get baptized. All right. Remember I talked about that lady who said at the door, oh, I want my son to be baptized. I said, well, let's stop for a second. Let's talk about this. Right? So who should be baptized? Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, and those who gladly received his word were baptized, and about 3,000 souls were added to them. When the early church first started off and the gospel was preached, think about the revival that took place here. 3,000 people said, I want Christ. And in here, those that accepted Christ, one of the first things they did was get baptized. Right? And in here, Acts tells us that the pattern is really clear. It says, only those who believe can be baptized. Right? We go down in our lives, and I've talked with people and said, well, you know, I was baptized as an infant, or maybe I was baptized as a young person, but I didn't know Christ. Right? I didn't know Christ. But I went through the procedure, I went through the ceremony, I went through the ritual. Does that count? I said, well, it depends on what you mean by count. Right? Did you do something? Well, actually, sometimes in these cases, it was done to me. It wasn't even of my volition. And sometimes in our lives, that because I went through this without the heart, right? My heart hasn't changed, but I just went on the outside. Well, if I can be real blunt, that if you got baptized without having the change of heart, then you just got wet. And because of this, this excludes infant baptism because they cannot believe. There is not one New Testament record of a baptism of an infant. I didn't hear of being baptized as an infant. Doesn't fit the biblical model at all. See, what's happened is over the course of time, people said, oh, you have to be baptized. So in order to do that, we backtrack and say, well, look, then we should be baptizing kids. And then it got younger and younger. And then a lot of people, a lot of churches will baptize babies saying that they're okay because they went through a ritual. But once again, that has no change on the heart. Actually, I found this cute little picture here. In here, I don't know if you've seen this before. It says, today at church, a guy in a suit tried to drown me. And I kid you not, my family just stood there taking pictures. Right? It becomes sort of a cute little sort of dedication, if you will. And then it becomes a ritual, a tradition to be done. And while it might be cute and adorable, it doesn't signify at all what the Bible's talking about. And we see as sort of the infant baptism started to catch on historically is when they went to other methods of pouring water on and then sprinkling, just because I think people would be horrified if you took a little baby out to the river and dunked them, right? And so we see the methodology started to change to kind of fit the method of what you were doing. And once we do this, it gets further, further away of that picture. Remember at the beginning of it, we talk about baptism being a picture of that burial, of that death, that burial, and the resurrection. And as we start getting further away from that picture, we get further away from the meaning of it, of the significance of it. And so, you know, over the years, I've had people say, look, I was baptized as a baby. Pastor, should I get baptized again? And my answer is, baptism should always follow an acceptance of Christ in your heart. And so I've even had adults come up through and say, you know what, I was baptized in a church, a group was doing it, I went along with it, but I wasn't saved. I haven't accepted Christ as my Savior then. I've done it now. Pastor, can I get baptized again? Because this time it has meaning. This time it has significance. Because it's happened in my heart first, and now I want everyone to know what's happened on the inside. It's interesting, Baptists initially were called Anabaptists, rebaptizers, because people were coming out of various traditions and saying, hey, you know what, I was baptized, but wasn't in a biblical way, I want to get baptized again. And so over the years, I've baptized a lot of people, like I said, who were baptized as infants or young children, who said, you know what, now it has meaning for me. Now, because I've accepted Christ, now it has a significance. Because I don't remember. Right? And folks, if you're in a situation where you were baptized and you don't remember, then how much meaning does it have? And I would encourage you to search out those scriptures and take a look. Let me get baptized again. And lastly, the last part of this, we talk about sort of the hows, we talk about the whys, we talk about the whos, right? Now, the last section here is when should a believer be baptized? And we want to be honest, we want to be biblical in our teaching. It says those who gladly received His word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. In Acts 16, it says, and He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and He and all His family were baptized. Acts chapter 2 is the beginning of the church. Remember, we talk about 3,000 people being saved. And in there, one of the first things they did is, hey, let's go down to the river. And in here, they had a baptismal service right after the revival. In the second part here, we talk about in Acts 16, we have the jailer who comes up. And he gives his life to Christ. And I love this because it's at that same hour, that in here, that time of night, they got saved. And guess what they did in the middle of the night? Let's go down to the river. Let's get this done. In the early church, there wasn't a long pause between the two. Then in here, we see that pattern of people getting saved and people getting baptized and then people joining up with the church. Boom, boom, boom. That Christian waltz, that 1, 2, 3. And what's really, you know, what's happened is historically we've broken that up, which I think is really doing a disservice to the Scriptures. That the Bible pictures here that as soon as someone gets baptized, someone gets accepting Christ, we should be baptizing them. Now, I've been in churches where they have a tank built into the pulpit, and someone gets saved, they clear it all off, they baptize it right on the spot. I have no problem with that at all. And here we do the, you know, we stretch it out, we have a year, you know, once a year we go down. Now, if someone says, hey, Pastor, I want to get baptized, we would find a way. If it's middle of winter, we'll cut, no, I would say we cut the ice. I don't know. You know, we'd find a way. I will never turn someone away. He says, you know what, I've accepted Christ as my Savior, I want to be baptized. Because I think it causes more problems when we stretch it out. We stretch it out. And I think it's becoming disobedient to the Word of God. That pattern becomes being saved getting baptized and then joining a church. We see that boom, boom, boom throughout the Scriptures. And so if you're here this morning, I want to encourage you, first of all, if you've been baptized, all right, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior and you've been baptized, then we're all in the same boat. This is something that ties us all together within the body of Christ. Right? And in here, that binds us together, and we've all gone through the sort of the same procedure, if you will. We can rejoice in that similarity. It doesn't matter what church we come from. It doesn't matter. You know, I was baptized in a Baptist church. I knew some of you come from different traditions in that. But in here, if you're baptized by immersion after you accepted Christ as your Savior, praise God. We're all part of the club. If you're here this morning, you said, you know what, Pastor? Maybe I've never been baptized. I've accepted Christ as my Savior, but I've never been baptized. I really want to encourage you. Just come see me. Like I said, we're going to line things up probably in August, or first of September. I got to talk to Tristan about that. And what we do is we kind of have the church service, and then we go down to Camp Fairhaven, we go down to the lake, and we have a big picnic, and we have a baptismal service, and we kind of hang out and have a great time of fellowship as a family of God. We've done that for the past 2 years, and it's been a great time together. I want you to encourage you to be a part of that. Right? And even if you know, and we come out and we support you in that because, like I said, we're all part of that club of Christ. Or maybe you say, you know what? Maybe I was baptized and maybe I was an infant, maybe I was young. I did it. It really didn't mean anything to me because I didn't know Christ then. You say, but I know Christ now. You say, well, Pastor, should I get baptized? I would say yes. I would say yes. Baptism itself doesn't save you, but in here, once you've had that change of heart, once you've accepted Christ in your life, it shows in broadcasting what you've done on the inside. And I'd love to have you down to the waters with us. You say, well, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ as my Savior, but I want to get baptized. Well, being baptized doesn't do anything unless you've had the change of heart. And the first step would be you need to accept Christ in your life. The Bible says that we're all sinners, and our sin separates us from God. But God loves us, and He died on the cross for your sins and for mine. And all we have to do is accept Him. The Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That, Lord, You died on the cross for my sins. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me. And, Lord, help me live for You. A simple prayer like that can change everything. Then He comes in and changes our heart. Now let's talk baptism. Right? It all comes back down to those things. But this morning, like I said, once a year, I like to take a pause and kind of go through what the Scripture talks about baptism. Get us all on the same page. Give you an opportunity for those who have never done it to say, yes, I want to do it. I want to be obedient to the Lord. I've accepted Him, and now I want to be obedient to Him by faith. If you have any questions, please see me. I'm glad to walk you through some things, explain some things if anything's unclear. Well, let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You. Lord, we thank You for the Scriptures, Lord, we can go through and look at. Lord, we confuse things so often. Lord, we change things and mix things and make things sometimes what they're not supposed to be. Lord, we thank You for the Scriptures, Lord, that make it clear that, Lord, through obedience and faith, Lord, we can accept You as Savior. Then once we've done that, Lord, You ask us to come and be baptized. Then, Lord, we see that follow through in our lives. Lord, we pray for anyone here this morning. Open their eyes. Let them see. We rejoice together, Lord. We ask this in Your name. Amen.